another oh, yeah.
Recording in progress.
Thank you.
didn't buy them to join us.
And they won't.
Yeah. So I was thinking,
there's comfort in
some snacks and coffee. And you all can too, and water.
Well,
good.
Hello over there. You're so far away. See, they can't even hear me. They're just... Hi. You guys seem so far away over there. I believe we're going to call the meeting to order. It is 9:02, and we have a lot of business on our plates this morning. So let's start with a roll call.
Susan Fowler.
Here.
Neil Sharma.
Here.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Vicki Nicewander.
Here. Okay, approval of the agenda is next on the list. The agenda...
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Very good. Do we have a second? Thank you. Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on, the meeting schedule. There was some discussion about the meeting schedules.
Please ignore the meeting schedules.
Okay, just rip that page out of
we
your
will
book.
Return to this in October. thank you. Okay. We're trying to get a schedule that allows you to meet in this room. And the main reason is because we have amplification in this room, but not in that room. So we had one scenario, which is the one in your packet, and then there was something went wrong with that, and so now we have a different scenario, which is more similar to what you've been doing traditionally. And anyway, so that'll be very exciting in October to see.
Is that what you emailed
us? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Okay, moving on to acronym. No, we don't need acronyms. Is there any citizen input today? Not any. Okay, very good. You're going to shorten our meeting too. My comments. It's been a hard week for a lot of us. And I just want to be really clear that we are supporting people with disabilities to have a voice. It's so important. And people are afraid. I was just telling Susan that I volunteer for the radio station here in town, and we've actually had a board member say to us, we need to be careful on community radio about what we say. And I said, if we do that, that's the end. We have lost. So that's where I am today. And those are my comments.
Well, I'm feeling that too. Thank you. it's actually a real gift to have work like this that's always meaningful. So I'm honored to continue in this role because this is the most meaningful job I could imagine. And it's nice to see folks doing the work and to be around people willing to do the work for no money at all because it really is important. I just want to say a couple of like housekeeping things. The bathrooms are that way. If there were a reason to leave this room suddenly and you couldn't get out that door safely, that's an option on the side, but a better option is the back. You can get all the way out the building going out the back doors, down one flight, either the elevator or the stairs, and then out into the parking garage. I probably shouldn't even be thinking about that, but I am thinking about safe exits. And there is coffee, water, and some little snacks up here, and they are for you all, too. And we have a really exciting study session tonight. I know some folks aren't going to be able to attend, but to me this is like I know it's probably my most favorite meeting of the year. And I'm going to stop talking because I'm feeling it. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right, moving on the agenda to, where are we? Approval of the minutes from last meeting.
We need
a motion.
I so move.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
Thank you, Neil. Any other conversation changes? Anything? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Vendor invoice list.
You have to turn yours off,
Neil. Oh.
There we go. Vendor invoice lists. We need a motion to approve those.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. All right. Green light go, red light stop. I can figure that out.
Are you pushing it or is it going off?
No, it's just going off.
I'll get one.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, just surround me with microphones.
I did give her two one time, and I thought this time we were perfect.
Then they both went off.
Yes.
Okay. I have no ability when it comes to mechanical stuff, so I'm sorry. Oh, let's see. Where are we? Did the minutes, did the invoice list. Staff reports are included in the packet. Always good information. I appreciate the efforts of the staff in being in everything in the area. It's just very impressive. New business, the draft three-year plan for 2026 through 2028. Yeah, question, yeah.
So I had a question about the fund, the DD board fund, just a couple items that were different.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Going back to Chris's report,
like the revenue and expenditures, pages 29 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to clarify. So it looks like our actual 2024 fund was 3.1 million in revenue.
So that's collection at this point last year, and there is a very big difference.
Right.
But there are a few explanations for that.
Yeah. That's
do you want to know?
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to know.
All right. Yeah. My nerd hat on. So there is a change in the way taxes are being collected this year. Like you can't pay from an account directly. You have to either write a check or credit card. So that's slowing collection down a little bit. There could be a lower collection rate for other reasons, because when the economy starts to act funny, people don't pay their taxes as fast, and sometimes they don't pay. And then there's this other factor that I have not heard about, but I believe is a factor, and that is we hear from our old friend who still works at Brookins that more and more people are lost. The feedback is because of the ceiling. It's not going to, but thank you.
Thank you.
I feel like it's a press conference. That, you know, more people are lost and there are fewer people over there to help redirect them. But some of the people who are lost are taxpayers, like have just always gone to Brookins to pay. So I think that collection will catch up. But I'm also looking at the total. The totals look lower than projected, but I'm not going to change our budget yet. So we'll see. Anyway.
Because I think, like, last year there was an issue with, like, us not getting funds put into our account, and it was getting kind of close. But this isn't necessarily that issue. It's more of those things.
Okay. To my eye, the first, second, and I think we're on four distributions now have been pretty timely. Yeah.
There we go. Moving on to the draft three-year plan, so where we left off. So that is included in the packet. I'm impressed again with all the work that staff has done on this, made it really, really good and changed some things that needed changing. So we appreciate that. Lynn, do you have anything to address on this for us? Anything to point out?
Well, process, I think, is important. Also, I want just to make sure you all know that Jenny Lockshin is also on the meeting. She's on the Zoom. Hi, Jenny. And she might have been able to answer that nerd question better than I just did. So sorry about that. This is open for public comment right now. We have asked, Kim and Leon sent these out to a large set of people, encouraged them to share them with their networks too. The public comment, we have asked that those be sent to us by the end of October, like by October 29, so that we have time to put them into a final draft for you. So it's also a period of time where if you have ideas about this, things you don't like, I did notice a typo, anything, you know, just send us input and we will make some changes. So that's, I mean, as far as like how we came up with this format, I think that's a really interesting story too, but you have a lot of things to talk about today, so
we'll talk about the format later. Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. But it looks great for a start, for sure. Moving on to the draft allocation priorities. Oh, sure.
Sorry.
That's okay. Just jump right in.
This play, and it looks wonderful. One question I did have is, like, there are a lot of goals, and it just feels like, have we gotten any input about, you know, kind of narrowing, do we think? Because I would love to do all of these things, but I worry that it's too much. But I didn't know if anybody else had that thought, or you did, Susan.
Well,
how you guys are,
it's a lot.
Which, you know, this is, if it's too much for board members, we should step back, but it isn't too much for us, and you might notice a lot of overlap. So, like,
yeah.
The reason that, so you're seeing very similar objectives, tactics, and goals under the five different, they're not priorities, the statements of purpose. And we divided it this way. This is different from how we've ever organized it in the past. It's always had some redundancy like that. So it is easier to accomplish than it looks. But we wanted to make sure that we stated things that are important more than once, if they belong. And you know what I mean? Like, so there's a lot of references to people with developmental disabilities giving input and how we might do that. And anyway, like, also, we do have, as you've noticed in the staff reports, lots of committee obligations. We work with other partners at state level and national level. And I do want to say that there are some states considering eliminating property taxes, and that will be a total disaster for their DD service systems. So just, I haven't heard anything like that in Illinois, but that's the purpose of us being in those spaces. So those are referenced several times because they affect the work in different ways. So it's not too much for us, but it could be too much. It could be too much paper. Also, just to say, the DD board is not required to have a three-year plan. And so one thing at the very end, there's a purpose for evaluation, and we would like to do some internal operations assessment next year to see if there are things where we're doing more than is necessary.
Yeah, you guys raise your hands. You can, Mike.
I see the three-year plan as aspirational and a guideline. It's not a roadmap. And given the circumstances that we're all living in, it can't possibly be a roadmap. So it's aspirational, and the redundancy is fine with me.
Is that what you were going to say too, or do you have
to the T? Aspirational.
Well, I must admit, I came up with an idea of something that I thought what I would add, but I'm not going to bring that up at this point.
We can add it.
We'll talk. Okay.
Well, I just had a couple other things.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
go
sorry.
For it.
So beyond, like, there is the lots of this plan, I just want to compliment you all, because I feel like the way you've written this out has really helped me better understand what, like, our purposes and our goals are. So that's really helpful. And I just would love to reiterate this idea of, considering having or figuring out how we can have folks with IDD participate in our meetings and, you know, consume the information. So I put a couple notes about how we, you know, ideas of plain language or easy read of our materials and how that might, you know, be an aspirational kind of idea. And then having folks, you know, actively engage in our meetings, I think would be real. It's super, to your point, Vicki, it's super important for folks with IDD to understand how government works, how it affects them, how they can participate in public meetings, not just in our meetings, but like, you know, city council meetings, board, Champaign County board meetings. So it seems like this would be a great area for us to focus on.
Okay, so I'm going to say my idea now because it kind of bounces off where you are. So we do a great job. Our agencies do a fantastic job of collecting data and opinions and perspectives from the folks that they serve. But we don't get any of that information from people who are unserved. And I think that, you know, we may want to consider during the annual expo to find a way to get opinions from people who maybe don't have the services that they would like to have. Many of those are coming to the expo if we have it, right, which is, as I'm understanding, it's kind of a risk right now because of the transportation issues. But
we have an update.
Do we have an update?
You want
to jump to that? Sure, let's do.
Do you want to say it?
Yeah, I'll comment on two things. We do get a little bit of information on people who don't get served because we get the preference assessment from the Regional Planning Commission.
Oh, true.
So that is some people that don't currently have services, but we could get more at the expo, so that is a great idea. Regarding the expo, DRES has come through and will be using a shuttle. And so now we're working out where the shuttle will pick up, because there's a bus stop on the north side of Neal Street and one on the kind of south side of Neal Street. You know, it curves there. It's kind of an awkward, like, the way it goes. So they have a schedule of when their shuttle will pick up and drop off. They will not be there until 4 p.m. I think they stop their run at 3. But we are working that out. We're going to get our pop-up tent that we have in the expo storage so that we kind of have somewhere for people to stand in case it's super hot and sunny or rainy. And Jane Sprandle, a mental health board member, has offered to bring hers so we could possibly have 2 pop-up tents. And so we're working out where they're going to pick up from. We know they're going to drop off at the JCPenney's door. We know their time slot. And our expo coordinators, Allison and Dylan Boo, are working on the media push of making sure that people know that we have mostly resolved this safety concern of getting from the bus stop that's pretty far away from the mall to actually getting into the mall. So that was a very last minute success story. So we were getting pretty close.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So they need to, yeah, you're right, they need to publicize that in any way possible. So if you get that information from them, share it to us, and we will share it with people that we know, and the agencies, I think, can help as well. Thank you. Okay, are we ready? Back to the agenda draft allocation priorities. Again, fantastic work on this. I didn't really have any input on it at the moment, but as you say, there is time, and we have the same period for comment on this that the other one has.
So I think we would really like to have approved versions of these at your November meeting, like for that to be what happens at the November meeting, but mm-hmm. No one can say for sure, and it's up to you all. So the reason to do that is that we want to launch the application system at a certain time. It's not, people aren't really using it over the little holiday period, but if we can get it set up and tested before they start using it, that's very helpful to me. Like, there's always some early user who says, uh-oh, it's not working the way you think. So this is just, the timeline is maybe it feels rushed, but you if we don't get this approved in November, we can do it in December. I do want to say, as to your comment about civic engagement, we did, I don't know if it's in this one or only in the mental health board priorities document, we used some data from the county roadmap. It's county health rankings and roadmaps, an organization which has done some really great work, including broadcasting that there is evidence that civic engagement improves health outcomes. So we should care about that. And then we learned that they have lost all their funding. So yay for things we've learned, and I got a lot out. But that's like the weirdness of the times we're living in. Just like I hit go on the publication of those data and then learned that they're going to be gone. So anyway, we still know it. Civic engagement is really important. So we can amplify that in this one too.
I just like to emphasize the importance of getting it out if you can in November, because I was more alarmed than I had been after I read this than before I read it. I mean, you know, I think you caught it in the third paragraph where you said dramatic federal budget and policy changes. And not only following that, but then on every page, you've got increased needs identified. 627 children identified, the highest in 4 years for early intervention services, needing more data on the current PUNS situation for Champaign. I mean, every page I underlined something that I found, you know, would really influence how I might view future proposals in terms of meeting our absolutely basic and growing needs. They're not, you know, we can't pat ourselves on the shoulders yet. I mean, we've done such a great job of understanding our community that now we can be scared for our community. That's all I have to say.
All right. Shall we move on? Let's see. Sure. Go.
Like, if you see anything, we also found a typo in this one. So if you see anything that you want us to address, this is a great time for input. Till the end of the month, or till the end of October, and then we'll be trying to incorporate it. But because you're the board, you can make changes the day you're looking at it. So.
Okay.
Real quick.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm doing a project on civic engagement, and there was a study just out of Temple that looked at civic engagement and people with disabilities and their health outcomes. So I'll send that to you because we could add it to this report. So.
All right, moving on to the next item, which is the CU Autism Network. They're back. I have some opinions on, I've been thinking a lot about this one this month, and I am totally, totally supportive of the CU Autism Network and the work that they do. I want to say that first. I also don't want to punish the board and the people who do the volunteering for that organization by forcing them to pay back money at this point. But I don't think it's a good use of our time to have this on our discussion, you know, on our agenda every month. I would rather see us, you know, say, you know, come to some resolution on it and then to tell the CU Autism Network that there are going to be conditions for them to write another grant for us, that they're going to have to prove that, first of all, they have to come through with all the information that has been asked for and promised. Whatever time frame it takes, that has to happen, and then they have to prove their ability to follow through on the reporting and the payments and all that for the future. And we can't approve another grant for them or any other agency that cannot provide that kind of assurance to this board. We're responsible for that money, and we have to be certain that we're doing our due diligence to make sure that that is resolved. That's my comment. Anybody else?
I have a comment, and that is, as I said earlier, the needs are only growing in our county. The federal situation is becoming more uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
The governor today announced to agencies to hold back 4% of their budget for next year in order to cover probable, more than potential, probable deficits. We may have a closure October 1st if the budget isn't passed. And so, yes, I will say I have appreciated the advocacy work of the CU Autism Network. Many of us have been involved, or we are parents of children. But I think it's such a terrible precedent that they haven't come as a board before our board to say, you know, we blew it, because obviously they've blown it. And then we can talk about consequences. But at the very minimum, we're not talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, which we would be talking about if we were looking at bigger agencies like DSC or Community Choices. On the other hand, it sets a very bad precedent for other agencies to say, if we dig in our heels long enough, if we find a lawyer who will go meet with the board, maybe we don't have to comply. And so, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time either hammering a dead horse, because I think that's pretty much where we are right now. On the other hand, I think that they need to be more proactive about how they manage their failure to comply or acknowledge it.
I agree. It's about accountability. I don't know about the money paid back, but really going forward, I really think their board should come here and explain and, you know, take responsibility and then figure out a cogent plan. Because yeah, budgets will be tight. I imagine it'll get more, and especially now with the latest publication about the linking of Tylenol with autism, which is just such false and fake news. Yeah. 100%. This is like, it's so bad. And, you know, you're starting to see some patients are starting to call in wondering, and it's causing confusion. And it's just really bad. And I feel like it is setting back research on autism and understanding it. It is not a homogenous disease. It is a very heterogeneous. It is a grouping of many different things that we're trying to understand. So the fact that you can come up with one, two things that is causing it, it's just preposterous.
It's also based on the notion that we should cure it, which is eliminating an entire group of people. So, which is, yeah. So I also appreciate what CU Autism Network does. I guess I'm very concerned about the public money that we are obligated to keep track of, and that this reporting that they need to provide us with would account for. And I am very worried about, as folks in the community, you know, are looking at their tax bill and then identify, you know, what are these other additional taxes that we're paying for, like funds for the DD board. And I would just, you know, it makes me very concerned that we wouldn't have the same type of expectation for one organization that we would another, and what impact beyond just them applying for another grant or not. But what it means to all the other agencies and the folks that we do support, if we just kind of let this go. So I totally understand that, you know, we're keep passing this along, but I feel like this has other repercussions long term. So I'm just concerned about that.
Ann, do you have anything?
I weep.
You weep. Me too. Yeah. Well, so what I'm hearing, I'm hearing we leave this on the agenda and wait And if there's no information that comes through, we'll wait another month. Is that where we are?
We've reached out to them. Have they responded at all?
Oh, yes.
To tell us they haven't got their information completed yet.
So the piece that we're waiting for is that this is a follow-up that everyone is expected to do. It's an independent CPA reviews all the financial records for that period of time. So it's been in progress for a very long time, but it's been difficult for the CPA firm to complete because the original records were not maintained in a very well-organized state. So there are people working on it, and I did talk yesterday with folks who do come and represent the organization from Steve Beckett's law office about whether they should come today. I said, well, the board is going to make some kind of decision. So even though, like, they haven't given us that financial review for us to change anything about the staff opinion, to give you any ideas, I didn't know what you might want to decide. Like, you deferred to September, so you have to make some kind of action, but you could certainly make an action that puts it off longer. I know that they won't be done by October. Is that right, Kim? Or do you remember? Maybe I should look at my folders. So maybe they'll be done by October, but, you know, this, you could take some time to think about the considerations that you all have raised today, mm-hmm. too. But yeah.
I'm sorry. Whether they get their financials in place, I think they need to come before the board and to just discuss. Bottom line, yeah, exactly. So, and otherwise, we're just keeping it on the agenda and it's sort of just meandering. Instead, we should set a date, like, show up to this time. We're going to put this in our meeting and be prepared.
I agree, and I would say not just Mr. Beckett, who's a respected lawyer, but the members of the board, or at least the president of the board and the director. I'm not sure exactly of the structure, but it's not to humiliate them. It's to say, hey, we would expect that the head of Community Choices or DSC would come before us if there was a problem, and they would. Why haven't you?
Is that something that would be appropriate for a closed session? No.
If there's pending litigation against or by the board, could close for that. There are only like three circumstances to close.
Yeah. Because the whole purpose is not to embarrass people.
I completely agree. It's not about embarrassment. I think it's just about acknowledgement, because we've been talking about this and they haven't shown up to respond. And I want to hear what's going on. What are the extenuating circumstances? What did they learn?
Explanations.
And that's it, you know.
How to avoid it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully it would be a constructive conversation and one that would foster more understanding. But yeah, I agree. I mean, the other organizations have done a fantastic job of showing up, reporting. That should be rewarded. And I feel like we may be, you know, rewarding bad behavior, but from a good part, you know. So I think we just need to be firm.
Okay, are we ready to move on then? We have to vote on this, don't we? Okay.
We haven't even read the,
that's true.
But you can change that too. Thinking about this more clearly than I was.
Vicki?
Yeah.
We have a an action item. And the action item is to defer
the action.
The action.
Yeah, and I think that that's what it will remain until.
So the shall I read the.
Please.
The statement.
Is this what you want?
Well, it's what's printed here, so let's do this, and then if we need to change it. I'm not being your parliamentarian, but I am a little bit.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank
action
you,
was deferred to the September meeting, so some action must be taken. Motion to defer action related to the PY2024 contracts between the CCDDB and CU Autism Network until the independent CPA financial review report has been completed, approved by the CUAN board, shared with the CCDDB staff, and CCDDB staff have reviewed the report. So this is just saying we're deferring action until the report is presented. There's no timeline, September, October, November, December. It's until the board, until the report. So it's pretty open-ended, but my understanding is that they are working on a report. And the we could, okay, so that's the motion.
I'll second.
Okay.
And then I'd recommend amending.
Okay.
So we could vote on the motion and then amend, but I think you can amend.
Let's do an amendment before. Vicki, we need a second on that.
Kim seconded.
Okay.
And then I recommend an amendment requesting representatives of the CU Autism Network come for a discussion, constructive discussion with the board regarding the reporting problems they have encountered.
Second.
So I just want to clarify. So after they've done all these things, they have the report, it's approved by their board, it's shared with the staff, and then it's the staff have reviewed it.
Thank you. The board. I didn't amend it further. I would amend it for what I've said, that the CU Autism Network representatives come and meet with a constructive conversation with the board by November, whatever the November meeting is, regardless of whether they finish the report.
Say the November meeting.
Okay.
So just to clarify, you're adding that
I'm not taking this part away. I'm not saying that they have to complete all of this before the November meeting, because they may not be able to. But I'm saying that in addition, regardless of the completion, since we keep deferring it, we want them to come and have a constructive conversation in November with the board about their difficulties in being able to comply and propose solutions, perhaps. I don't want to be overly prescriptive, but I think I want them to come and meet with us. And again, we're not going to humiliate people. We want a conversation. What happened? Well, they can tell us.
So, Neil, you seconded that amendment. Are you seconding?
Yeah, again? I completely agree. And I like November. That's perfect. It gives a little bit more time for them to collect their thoughts and everything like that. But yeah, it should be the first. And I agree, the finance part, that might take a little bit longer. But we just need to know what's going on, what happened, what did they learn, what, you know, and all those sort of things. How can we help?
And Anne, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm not very enthusiastic about doing that. I think I would vote no on that. But, yeah, I think the people involved know what they did. They did it for reasons that were their reasons. I have to believe that the people did the best that they could do based on what they had available. It was not up to the standards that this board has to have, because we have fiduciary responsibility. I would just wait for the CPA financial review, and then we'll make a decision. I really don't see that there's a big value in having a discussion with the CU Autism Network sent Mr. Beckett here. They did not come themselves. I don't see a big value in that, personally.
I'm in total agreement with Anne, because I think they've come before and we didn't really get additional information. I don't think we'd get anything new.
Was that with Mr. Beckett?
Yeah,
I remember that. Maybe I would modify that the board, not just the lawyer, show up.
Absolutely.
You know, that would be a little bit more meaningful, I think, than having somebody try to justify their position. It's not just about that.
And I said representatives. I didn't mean simply the lawyer. I meant members of the board and or the president. And again, I think we're setting a precedent for other perhaps small agencies or even big agencies. If we're going to decide in November what our financial priorities are for the funding that we agree to in May based on what we're letting out to the agencies to respond to around January 1st, and if our financial situation is tighter, I think we just have to emphasize the importance of accountability. And again, you know, if they say our intentions were really good and this is what happened, what can we learn from that? I haven't said anything about payback yet.
And you know, I see your point, Anne, and everyone, like, I get it. We're probably not going to learn a whole lot of new things, but I think it's important. We're in a public forum. We need to give them their opportunity to kind of voice their opinion. But I also think that showing up is an important prerequisite to getting any kind of funds. And I would be, if they're not going to show up to just a simple meeting, I mean, that's just like, come on, you know, I'll just show up for like an hour or so. I think that's, at that point, if you can't take the time, then why are we wasting our time thinking about this, waiting for this? We're sort of just waiting for Godot.
So, parliamentarian, what's our process from this point forward?
Well, my opinion is that we have two different motions. We don't have a friendly amendment. We have two different motions. The one is the motion to defer action on the contract, and I think we should probably vote on that, and then we should have Susan restate her motion, and we can vote on that, not put the two together. I don't see that they're connected.
That's fine. I agree. As long as I can make a second motion.
So do you first deny the amendment? You vote on the amendment? Okay.
I think that's how, yeah, you vote on the amendment first, and then if it passes, then it, or doesn't pass, then we vote on the main. That's typically how amendments work. Amendment first, vote, and then you vote on the initial motion.
And if that's the case, then we'd be voting on the request that members of the board come to the November meeting to discuss with the board the process that they have engaged in and lessons learned thus far so that it can be constructive and we can use it in consideration, you know, with our evaluation strategies, et cetera, that are laid out here that talk about those issues. So members of the board are requested to come to the November meeting with the DD board and to discuss their process that has created this difficulty and lessons learned.
Period.
I mean, do we want to make it a prerequisite before we even think about approving their budget that they have to do this? Mm-hmm. I guess that would be the amendment.
I would support that they can't submit another proposal until we've had this conversation.
We're really discussing so many different things. I we don't have a parliamentarian here, but I think we've gotten a little bit off track. It is a good discussion, but I don't think we've got anything that I feel like I can vote on. I would like to vote on two different things.
Right.
So I don't know how we can go back.
I think the application is steering away from what the topic that this.
Right.
So we have the two, this motion that was written, and then your amendment.
Shorter amendment, which is coming to the board.
Yeah, so we should vote on that first, and then vote on the main motion, because typically you vote on amendments first. That's my understanding. So, Vicki, do you want to?
After all this conversation, I'm kind of leaning with Ann and Kim at the moment, thinking it is a good strategy to have them come and talk with us, and we have given that message, and we can give them that message. We don't have to have an amendment to a motion to request that to happen.
there would have to be consequences, and there's no consequences for them. They've been asked. We can continue to ask them, but we have to make a decision.
Yeah. So I think if I am hearing correctly, that we just vote on the amendment as, or vote on the, do we need to vote on the amendment motion?
I withdraw the motion, but it will influence my decision.
Yeah, I agree. It'll definitely influence because, like, you know, this is ridiculous. Yeah.
I think it will for all of us. Okay, let's vote on the motion as written. Again, it says the motion is to defer action related to the fiscal year 2024 contracts between the CCDDB and CU Autism Network until the independent CPA financial review report has been completed, approved by the CUAN board, shared with CCDDB staff, and CCDDB staff have reviewed the report. You seconded? You did second. Okay. Any other conversation on that? All those in favor say aye. Oh, yes.
What's the difference between modify, additional information needed, and deny?
That's us. Just, I'm not sure why we format everything like that. We just always have. So I'm sorry. Okay. Typically, the board either approves or denies and then comes up with other things. So, yeah.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Nay.
Aye.
And so we have the opposed. I don't have to ask my question. Oops, there it goes again. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, motion carries.
Susan, or Vicki, I'm sorry. Think about Susan. Could we send a message to the CU Autism Network board and executive director saying that we've had this discussion? I don't know if they've listened to it or they haven't listened to it. If they have listened to it, then I think they've gotten the message pretty loud and clear that this board is supportive of the work of CU Autism Network. We're supportive of the people in it. We also have a fiduciary responsibility for tax money, and they didn't follow through. And we would very much like them to come forward with an explanation showing lessons learned, possibly, how they as a smaller organization can organize themselves to comply with those things. And maybe that would be helpful for us as a board and certainly the mental health board, which has a lot more smaller organizations who also struggle with the requirements. And that it could be an ongoing conversation. It's like, how can we deal with smaller organizations that don't have the resources to comply with the requirements that we have?
I think that's a really good approach to take.
The only issue is, like, statutorily, I think we can't change, right? Isn't that the issue? We can't change the requirements statutorily?
There's some flexibility in the law. I think that you just have to do those things, like, overtly, yeah. I mean, maybe, like, for us, we certainly prefer that things be done in before. But I think you do have some authority to make retroactive decisions. It's just there's something in your statute referencing another Illinois statute in which you have clear authority to be flexible with decisions, especially when it has to do with small businesses and nonprofits. So that's kind of where I'm hanging my hat. But I do have some process questions for you. If the board wants to send a message like that, perhaps the board leadership could help me write it, and I would think that we need to direct it through their attorney because I'm not sure, but, you know, the first time I talked to him, he called and said, I'm representing CU Autism Network. So to me, that says that's who I communicate with. Mm. But, I mean, in practice, I think it turns out he's helping them. He's working for them to try to help them get it together. So it may be different, but I just – to be careful, I would prefer to go through him.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Makes sense. Sure. Yes. Okay.
Susan, does that help what you were addressing?
I think it gets at the same request that I had, that there still be accountability, and it's less direct, but it's still fairly direct. So I think we can move on. I'm glad we had the conversation, and I'm not, you know, I'm willing to accept the majority.
All right, then. I think we're ready to move on. By the way, the microphones are doing something wonky here. What's...
This is about where we're sitting. I think that, like, we're sitting too close to...
The county has had this work redone a couple times to solve it, but if you, the closer you are to these speakers, the more feedback.
Okay.
So it's...
Huh. Okay.
Is this right. Better? Oh, it is better. Oh, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
I hear there are career opportunities in the world of AV and sound engineering.
On the recording, but are you trying to tell me something?
Oh my gosh. Okay, moving on to be input from people with IDD. And of course, we have our study session tonight. Looking forward to that. And thanks to staff for all the work they've done to prepare for it.
We have a hand raised.
You have a hand raised?
Yeah. Can I do it?
Who do we have?
So Kelly Martin with DSC, and I wanted to introduce Chloe Briskin to you. She wanted to share some information about her time at the Speak Up, Speak Out Summit with you.
Awesome.
Brain fart. I have no idea. I'm sorry. First time doing something like this.
You sound great.
Yeah. Sorry. I told you, first time.
That's okay. Would you like me to give you the prompts that we talked about, and then you could answer the question?
If you could, like, remind me of the prompts, and
okay.
I can go from there. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It's one thing to practice, and another thing to actually do the... I'm sorry. This is just a lot for a first time.
That's okay. So, Chloe, you aren't a stranger to public speaking because you do theater and some other things.
History require as well.
Yes, yes. So we talked about... You went to the Speak Up, Speak Out Summit, which was in Bloomington.
Yeah, for the first time ever. That was exciting.
Yep. And there were 8 other advocates from DSC that went, and I think there was about 300 of our advocates throughout the state. And so why don't you tell the board what was something that they talked about or that you learned while you were there?
Well, for one, we definitely had a lot of, we definitely had a lot of speakers in regard to some of the politicians and that came. We definitely had like 2 days we had the politicians speak. Then I remember for the first day we went to like these smaller rooms where we addressed other topics. I think one was sex education. I personally went to one on small businesses owned by people with special needs. So basically it was, for the first day, it was like the morning was all just hearing the representatives in the state house and what they plan to do. Like, they definitely talked a lot about the long-term care facilities. I remember they talked a lot about that. Then afterward, we just went to like the small rooms to address like those like other concerns. That's as much as I can remember. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay. Do you have a favorite part that you remember?
I definitely think that when they did the open mic for the people who were attending, that was a lot of fun, getting to hear their stories and being able to like get a look into like their lives and what they need. I think that was definitely a good way for the state representative to actually know firsthand what actual people needed instead of just yapping to us. The open mic actually gave them an opportunity to quite literally speak up and speak out about all legitimate concerns. I didn't do the open mic just because I couldn't think of anything, but a lot of people that I knew through all the programs I do, not just DSC, a lot of people that I knew did do it, and I just thought it was really nice to hear their concerns or their opinions, and I thought that that was actually really helpful to have that open mic session, which was happened during lunch, actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
And would you go again?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, I can't remember 2 days worth of information, but I would definitely go again. I think that would definitely a lot of fun, definitely very educational, and would definitely consider going back.
Wonderful. And then do you remember that we talked a bit about how this board helps to take care of programs that helps DSC help people to advocate? So what were we going to tell them?
Yes, I did remember we talked about that.
Yeah, so we were going to tell them what?
Sorry, okay. This is the only thing that I really like. Didn't really know
We were gonna thank them for helping us do advocacy activities.
Yes, thank you. We do really appreciate it. Otherwise, it would cost a gajillion dollars probably. All they do is feel that way. So, we do appreciate the behind the scenes work that people like you guys do, and it does actually really help with the the actual stuff that people see. And, yeah, kind of like the backstage crew of a play, effectively. Sorry, play metaphor, I have a history on stage, so just roll with it. Yeah. But, yes, thank you. We do absolutely appreciate it, and we hope that, budgets can go through or, meetings can get resolved in a way that ends up helping more people instead of the same amount or less people, because that would be a useless regression. We want to help more people, obviously, not less or the same amount. Yeah, we don't want things to go stagnant.
Right.
But yeah, yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm just glad that you actually did, prompt me with the question. Because, again, first time doing this, not easy.
It's all good.
Chloe, I wish we had a gazillion dollars. Yeah. I wish. Thank you so much for that. That did my heart good today.
Makes the next item seem kind of awful.
It does. Response to emerging threats. Yeah, every news article that has come out in the past 6 months has been negative. So
Kelly, thank you. So Kelly, was that Kelly?
Chloe.
Oh,
it was Kelly.
Kelly and
Chloe.
Oh, right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kelly. Okay. Thank you, Chloe. That was a really great information. And when you were speaking, I was thinking about, in these articles about the threats to funding, how impactful it is for legislators and policymakers to hear from people and their own stories. And it would just be amazing if we did something like that on a smaller scale.
On a more local scale.
100%. Yes. So Chloe said for the audience, on a more local scale. And yes, she took the words right out of my mouth.
We need it on both the local scale and the country scale.
Yeah, so just for the audience, Chloe said we needed more of that on the local scale as well as the national scale, and I just think she's 100% correct.
I need to talk to Chloe about having a radio program on WAC.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she would be great. Okay, are we done with emerging threats?
Well, I guess I don't know if we should share, like, in the next packet information about the fact that there is no link to the causes of autism. Yesterday I shared a bunch of resources with my students about this, but I don't know. I can send that to you. And I'm Dr. Neal, I'm sure you have a million things. Well, everybody probably does, but.
I thank you for saying that, because, like, I agree. I mean, I think we need to address that, and maybe we can have at our next board meeting just the section to clarify and explain that part. I didn't have prepared to explain all the things that are wrong with it, but to kind of describe and maybe give, like, a bit of a conversation about that.
Is it okay to put that under this agenda item just to become more specific? Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say. I think the scientific information is lacking about the association of acetaminophen and autism. But beyond that, and even much, much more concerning to me, is the background philosophy as expressed by our president and the Health and Human Services director, that autism should not exist, and that it can be, quote unquote, cured and eliminated and prevented. And the underlying message from that is that there is something profoundly wrong with people with autism, which is the exact opposite of the message that our organization and many other organizations, including CU Autism Network, are promoting, which is that people with autism are members of our community, they're members of our families, they are people who are worthy in every way to exist, and they are not to be eliminated or ignored. And what is happening on the national level with that statement, it's a shaming and an elimination, which is profoundly frightening and profoundly disturbing. And we need to be on the public record that we are completely in opposition to that, and that what we in fact need is recognition of human differences, including autism, including many other human differences, and that those are all part of the human family and to be celebrated and supported, not eliminated. So, you know,
I agree.
This is profoundly disturbing, and I just want to be on the public record of saying exactly that.
But next time you say it, you need to back off your microphone just a little bit.
Don't get so excited I get close to the microphone.
I completely agree. You know, it's a different way of processing. And, I mean, and first of all, like, autism itself, it's a spectrum. It's a heterogeneous thing.
And we're all on it at some point.
Correct. Yeah, yes. Exactly. And I just think about some of the innovative things done by people with autism. You know, Temple Grandin. I mean, it just, that's such a great example of how that unique way of interacting with the world can lead to innovations in ways that we don't think about.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I mean.
It's already started happening for people with Down syndrome. You know, abortions are up because people are getting prenatal testing and. It's a elimination is a strategy. So, yeah, let's keep it from happening to people with autism, too.
Yeah.
Should we take a parking meter break?
A parking meter break? Oh. For me, I'd have to move my car. I'm in a 60-minute spot. So let's just
we'll just keep going.
The meters are 2 hours.
And then
so
back
good.
In.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I just hope my car's still out there.
Yeah, same here.
All right, we're going to go on to Engage Illinois. They're presenting, Sharon Costabile is going to be here this evening talking about Engage Illinois. And so please come and hear and participate in that discussion. Evaluation Capacity Building Project update. Finally.
All right, just going to give a quick update on the Evaluation Capacity Building Project. So we've been doing technical assistance with a few programs at Promise, PACE, and Christian Health Center, and we're at different stages in those different projects focusing on different elements, and that's been a great start for those programs. We're about to get our office hours started, so we have the link available. We've just been trying to figure out the best time to share it because we also have a workshop coming up, and that's on October 8th from 12 to 1:30, and that'll be focused on reporting, and that will be hosted by our team at the United Way, I believe. And then also, in preparation for that workshop, we will have this video, and so I'm going to try to share on Zoom, and I'm not sure if I'll have sharing powers, and I think Lynn might be managing it, but I'll give it a try. Okay. I am able to. Great. And I'm going to try to share my volume. Bear with me. Some of the meeting controls are in the way.
In this video about outcomes reporting, we are going to discuss a data dump and how to avoid it. A data dump is marked by a large volume of facts offered without context or analysis. In the case of outcomes reporting, a data dump does not select facts that are relevant to the audience's knowledge and interests or to the intended message. Rather, a data dump leaves it up to the reader to sort through the facts and find what's important and why. We can see how disorienting a data dump can be if we imagine a weather report. We're here on the scene where the wind is coming out of the northwest at 8 miles per hour and the temperature is 77 degrees. The barometric pressure comes in at 1,021 millibars or 30.15 inches of mercury, and the humidity is 44%. Here you can see the atmospheric pressure today, tomorrow, and the next day. And here are some pictures of the clouds as they move across the states. I hate to interrupt, but that was a lot of numbers and visuals, and I'm still not sure what you want to tell the viewer. Do you think they will understand a reading of atmospheric pressure in millibars? Maybe you can explain that a reading above 1,013 millibars denotes a high pressure system. And a high pressure system means fair, clear, and calm weather. Got it. Also, I gotta say, it seemed like your report lacked a sense of purpose. How so? Well, what were you intending to tell the viewer? Weather reports usually mention something about, you know, the future. Oh. Well, maybe I should explain that the millibars will, or that the high pressure system will still be around tomorrow. And you can expect the weather to be fair, clear, and calm. Perfect. Here are some key takeaways for avoiding a data dump. First, you do not need to report every piece of data. Rather, select data that is relevant to the message you want to convey. Speaking of selection, data should be selected with respect to audience. Just as the weather reporter provided raw numbers without accounting for the audience's understanding of and interest in weather terms, so too should you choose data that accommodates your reader's background knowledge and that they will find meaningful. Similarly, data should be selected with respect to purpose. The weather reporter did not provide data about the change in barometric pressure over time, for example, and so the report lacked a sense of purpose beyond conveying, hey, it's nice outside right now. Likewise, you can purposefully choose data that provides the best evidence of what you intend to show. Thank you for watching.
All right, yes. Dr. Nate Underland worked very hard on that one, and we had some fun in the recording studio in one of the libraries. So we're looking forward to that workshop that's coming up again on October 8th, and that was a workshop where the topic area was really identified during the needs assessment period when working with the different agencies. So we really encourage agency representatives to come so that we can do this in person, which will be great as well. So thank you.
Thank you.
I just have one question. That was excellent, and I was laughing. It was very good, and I was thinking about the number of times that we've been dumped on by data. But the conclusion, you might want to think about it just a little bit, because it almost sounds like you're authorizing people to select their data to support what they want to say. I just kind of got that out of the last, and we obviously don't want that. We can't ignore data that is not in our favor.
But the video was well done.
I just heard on the radio coming in here that our federal government is no longer going to track hunger in the United States. That those data will no longer be tracked and no longer be available. And the question was, if you don't report negative data, is the problem still there? So we do need to make sure that we include data that is not necessarily what we want to hear, because on a federal level, it's being eliminated.
Thank you for bringing that up. And I think our next microlearning will actually be touching on that. And so talking about, you know, selecting data carefully, but in a way that's sharing the whole story of what's going on with the program, and that's including some of the areas for improvement as well.
Thank you so much. Any other questions? All right, moving on to, where are we? Disability Resource Expo update. We've had that, right? So we're...
We could just mention the date.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
The Disability Resource Expo is being held on October 18th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Marketplace Mall.
Is there a sign? In the past, there's been like a sign-up genius for volunteers.
Yes, there is. And we can send it out. If you haven't gotten that, I can make sure we send the link out for that. It might actually be embedded in my staff report. I think Becca sent me that. So you can't click it in the book, but you can click it in the online version, and I'll email it to you guys again. Kelly also shared that it's linked on Facebook and Instagram on the Expo's Facebook and Instagram pages. Thank you, Kelly.
We're going to need volunteers to hang out outside with me so that I can go take bathroom breaks. So the idea is to keep people in safe places until it's okay to cross the street or get, you know, right? And to maybe give them some water and nice conversation. Like, wouldn't that be fun? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the first time in 7 years that I don't have a soccer tournament. I have to be, so I'm actually available that Saturday. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you there.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Fourth quarter funded program service reports. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. I love all the information that is given on the service reports, especially the anecdotal data. Nice in the future to see that connected to person-centered planning. You know, we planned this for this person. It didn't just necessarily just happen to them, but we actually, you know, took action to make this happen. So, you know, if you can connect those in any way, that would really be important for us to see as well. Any other comments on that?
Just a big thank you. Yeah, thank you. I know it's a lot of work, but it's really helpful to understand. So thank you.
And the program claims data is next. Is there anything that we want to say there? Yes.
That is full year. I missed that on the agenda. It's not only fourth quarter. The claims data is for program year 2025, the full year. I'm sorry about that.
All right. And moving on to the next one, if we're able to do that, it's the 2026 funded programs. Programs funded by...
This is both boards and the IDD special initiatives all included in here. This is just kind of it's a very summary of a summary. Because it's brief, it might be very useful if people say, what are you doing with all this money? Like, to just give them like this kind of very basic idea of where the money goes can be very helpful. We originally designed this for the county board when they're doing budget hearings so that they can understand this is the majority of what the DD board and mental health board are doing. But we actually updated it yesterday. So I'll be sending out the updated version pretty soon. But I don't think we'll put it back in the packet, but just so that you have it and you can share it with people as needed.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And thank you for all the work that you do. Where are we? Funded programs, we've talked about successes. Let's turn things positive, shall we?
All right. Hello, I'm Becca with Community Choices. It's very microphone-y. I just first wanted to say how much I appreciate hearing all of your public comments today, and to hear people in a position of public authority say those things in a public setting is a very nice counterpoint to everything we hear all day, specifically in the last couple weeks. So I also just wanted to speak to a few nice things that are happening. Actually, before I do that, I would love if the expo could maybe be a place where we could share some of those ideas, because it is a place where people with all different sorts of disability can come together and say, like, yes, we exist and we are valid, and needing support doesn't mean that we shouldn't exist. We all need support. So just my editorial. I also just wanted to speak to a couple things. So Kim, you mentioned specifically like hoping to encourage more people with disabilities to be able to speak in public forums. And I just wanted to say that that is actually one of the sort of initiatives that we are working on this year. So we have a new group that we're trying to get off the ground. We've been calling it Informed and Included. We may shift the name a little bit to get a bit more interest. So we'll see. Put a pin in that one. But the idea is for folks with disabilities to be able to come in a relaxed setting and hear about how sort of like the civic public government world works, to get sort of a little bit of a summary version of some of the things that are happening on city councils, the things that are happening here at DD and mental health boards, and then hopefully encourage them to sort of think about their own opinions and give input based on that, and hear about another forums too. So I will say it's been a little slow getting off the ground. I think coming in public speaking, Chloe did an amazing job. I think it can be intimidating, but that is something that we're really working on. And we have a couple people from City Council that have already agreed to come and kind of speak about, like, what is their role? What does that look like? What are some of the things that the City Council thinks about? And so we're really excited about that. And I think it's, you know, we'll keep you posted. So we also kind of also on the advocacy end of things, our human rights and advocacy group is going to be here this evening in collaboration with DSC. But they've also been working on some presentations at the university. So they spoke, was it last week or the week before, at an early childhood education class, and has another one sort of planned for later this semester. So they've been still just really enjoying getting out there and sharing their experiences and answering the questions and helping sort of future educators understand the type of lives that they lead now and want to lead. So on a few other just notes, it's been a minute since I've spoken with you all. So we've had a lot of success getting people jobs in the last couple months. We have somebody working at Accolade, somebody at Clark Lindsay. We had two people who worked at Curtis Orchard last year and were asked to come back, which is really awesome. They've been very supportive of those folks. We have somebody starting with the Urbana Schools in a couple weeks and at Rally House. And there's, I think, at least one more that I'm not remembering this moment, but it's been really nice to see employers being really open to customized positions. So, and then we are also offering two classes at the moment, both sort of in collaboration with other organizations and groups in town. So we're offering a healthy relationships class that's co-taught with the educators from Races. And we're doing a cooking class that Urbana Park District is very graciously letting us use their kitchen. So I think that's it. Thank you all.
Very exciting about all of the stuff, but especially informed and included. That is really cool. So thanks for sharing that.
But I agree, the name probably needs to be tweaked just a little bit. I don't have any ideas yet. Anybody else? All right, then. I guess we will move on to county board input. Jenny, still on?
She's there.
All right.
Nothing to report this time. We're in the budget process, so things are tricky as they always are. Happy to bring back any input to the board that you would like me to, but always keeping ZDB in mind when looking at that information. Thank you all.
Thank you. Mental health board input.
They met last Wednesday. They also looked at this first draft of their three-year plan and their priorities document. Do you remember? This was a long time ago to me. I think they have difficult conversations like the one that y'all had earlier quite often. As staff, we are used to that, and we learn a lot from those conversations. I think maybe y'all are, kind of like feeling like maybe it's a waste of your time, but it is not a waste of our time. Like, it's all important, and we may be able to change things here and there to get better outcomes for everybody. But that's, I think they had one of those tough discussions. Oh, yes, they sure did. Okay. And it ended up really well. Like, everyone was happy in the end, so sometimes this goes well. I think that's it. And then they're involved with this joint study session this evening. I do have a question for y'all. On the schedule is another joint study session at the end of October, but this one, we've just been planning it with Mental Health Board, not with the DD Board, so we could take your name off of it or consider you co-hosts of it. It is to hear from representatives of the immigrant and refugee populations here about resources that people use and how people are dealing with new threats. So, you're always invited to their study sessions, but I just wonder if you want me to take that off of your list officially or if it doesn't matter.
I would like to see it left on the list. I mean, people don't have to attend if they don't want to, so sure, leave it. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. I just want to say that I have personally, as a physician, seen DD family members of immigrants and refugees, and they are the most neglected people possible. Mm-hmm. The lack of services available or awareness of services is profound. So I think it does impact us.
More than ever, yeah. Okay, any board announcements or input?
This is just, I can't be here at the study session, but I sent some questions to Lynn and Kim and Vicki. My daughter is getting inducted into NHS, so I was very bummed that.
Well, congratulations.
Well, yeah, but I'd like to be in two places at once, so I'm sorry. So just ahead of time, I'm sorry to the advocates and agencies for not being able to attend tonight.
Can I ask a question about your question?
Yeah.
So we typically give the advocates all the questions in advance because it's not very comfortable to them to wing it. So I didn't know if your questions were meant for discussion among board members.
I that's a great question. I think I was more having this as a discussion of board members, but that actually, now that I'm saying that out loud, makes it feel like I'm excluding their particular input. So I'm more meant it for like the board for us to discuss based on, but
Okay, any other announcements or input? All right, then. I guess we are.
Neil has his finger.
I don't know if I was going to bring this up. You know, unfortunately, I as well won't be able to make it tonight. I'm speaking for this epilepsy dinner thingy. Giving a little presentation. But, you know, one thing as like a provider here, it's really frustrating that you can't get neuropsych testing. And I don't know how to improve access. You know, there are a few providers here, but I was just thinking about one person I have, and because of their insurance, which isn't, I don't know, too exotic, but I mean, it's a struggle. I cannot find anybody. I mean, we're like maybe Rush, and I know with even in the peds, I was talking to some of the peds neurologists, some of them have to go to Peoria.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really, it's a tough barrier. I don't know if as a board we can formulate something to address that, I don't know. It's just something that I feel it's a big frustration.
I just want to second that. I don't know if it's still true, but we had to get a neuropsych evaluation in order to qualify for services, and it was a long wait, and then insurance didn't pay for it, and I had the capacity to cover the cost, but it would have been an absolute barrier for many families.
I would agree with that too. That, you know, if there was something that we could do, given the structure of how we do our proposals now, it's, you know, people write proposals and give them to us and we say yes or no. Maybe we need to think about actually requesting a proposal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I don't know if that's possible or not.
What excellent timing.
Since we have this funding priorities document sort of open for comment, I think that we can just add a specific, right? Like, we might have to put conditions on assistance for things like travel for neuropsych or the cost of a test when there's no other coverage. But we can absolutely add that to the priorities document. I'm not exactly sure where. Maybe you have an idea, but
I currently think that the special initiatives fund might be a resource for people in immediate need of that. There is a cap on how much people are eligible for, and it might actually not cover, but Angela is very good about reaching out if she does have questions. And I think if it was something that was above the cap, then I would probably bring it to Vicki, and then maybe it would be, you know, something that the whole board needed to discuss. But yeah, I think in immediate, we have the special initiatives fund, and I definitely think that's a quality of life situation for a person. I mean, it's not as fun as an iPad, but
so that contract will end on July 1st or June 30th of next year, and it doesn't continue after that. And the special initiatives fund is kind of running down. We're trying to spend it down. So it might be good still to put this in your regular priorities so that it's stated and we can do something for continuation from July 1st through the end of the year.
This is really great. Thank you.
We typically don't solve problems during our board announcements, but, you know, thank you for all of that. That sounds great. Are there any others that we can work on right now? Okay, then we will call this meeting adjourned, and we'll see you all next month. Thank you so much.
You're only 30 minutes over your part.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I got a note here.
Yeah,
Jenny says that I'll be fine.
She has to be here all the time.
County board.
So we think she knows.
And by the way, I do have.